Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succourer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Julia, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. We'll end at verse number 7, knowing that God will bless the reading of his word tonight to each and every heart. There's no doubt at all tonight that the Apostle Paul held women workers within the church in high esteem and in great regard. You only have to read down through this particular chapter and you note how many people Paul commends and how many people Paul thanks and records within this chapter of God's Word. And many of the people that he makes mention of are women. Verse number 1 speaks of Phoebe. Verse 3 mentions Priscilla. Verse 6 speaks of Mary. Verse 7 mentions a lady by the name of Junia. Verse 12 speaks of Tryphena and Tryphosa and Persis, all women who were laboring in and for the Lord. And then verse number 15 speaks of a lady by the name of Julia. And as you read this chapter, you come to the conclusion that Paul is eternally grateful and extremely thankful for all of these ladies who labored in the Lord to help him in his ministry and to help spread the word of life. So it has to be said tonight that Paul was certainly not misogynistic. That's a word you hear a lot nowadays. People who seem to be against women. Certainly Paul was not in that category. He's ever thankful to the Lord and to the church and to those ladies that labored amongst the believers at that particular time and generation. And of course, he's thankful to all who have helped him, and that's what this chapter records, Paul's indebtedness to those who have labored in the Lord for the furtherance of the gospel. And I'm sure tonight that his thankfulness is a tremendous encouragement to them. It's a lovely thing whenever somebody expresses words of thankfulness and words of gratitude, and how much it must have meant to these believers here whenever someone of the stature of the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, recorded their names indelibly within the pages of Holy Scripture, making mention of their labors in Christ Jesus. But the first person that he mentions in verse number 1 is Phoebe. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succourer of many, and of myself also. I want to speak for a little while tonight upon Phoebe, and this is the only time in all the Word of God that Phoebe is mentioned. Verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 16. Everything that we know about Phoebe is recorded in these two verses. And yet what we read of her very briefly in Scripture is certainly worth our consideration. So I want to speak for a little while tonight upon Sister Phoebe. And the first thing that you'll notice is that Sister Phoebe was converted to Christ. Sister Phoebe was converted to Christ. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, that ye receive her in the Lord. Phoebe, our sister. And so Paul is speaking of this woman, having the assurance that she is a member of the family and fold of God. She is a sister to all of God's people. So we can deduce from that that Phoebe has been born again. Phoebe has been adopted into the family of the Lord. And she attends a church at a place called Kenchrea. At the end of verse 1 we read of that place. Kenchrea was a fishing port. It was about 7 miles east of the city of Corinth. And whatever you read in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, you'll understand that Paul spent about 1.5 years ministering in the city of Corinth and in the outlying areas. And it is therefore most likely that Phoebe came to Christ during that time of gospel ministry under the leadership of the Apostle Paul. That was the first time that the gospel had reached Corinth, and Phoebe had come under the influence of the gospel as Paul ministered in Corinth, and the ministry was with great power and effect, and Phoebe had been converted to Christ, so much so that Paul can address her as a sister and encourages the believers at Rome that Phoebe is going to visit to receive her in the Lord, or to receive her as one who is in the Lord. Now, Corinth, as you will know, was a very godless city. Paul's letters to the church at Corinth, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, record many of the sins that were prevalent even in the church that had filtered in from the society without. And you'll read as well about many of the sins that the people of Corinth were delivered from, all manner of sins. Athens was the capital of Greece. It was known for its intellect and learning. Corinth was the secondary city. It was known for its immorality and its licentiousness. Corinth, at that particular time across the world, was known as being a capital of corruption, a capital of immorality, a capital of idolatry. And yet out of that region and out of that city, God was pleased to save precious souls. We know that there was a church in Corinth, that maybe it comes tonight as new news to us tonight, that just outside of Corinth, 7 miles east, there was another church in one of the satellite towns, Kenchrea. And that's where Phoebe was meeting together with God's people. The name Phoebe literally means moon. And many of the people in Corinth worshipped Jupiter, and they worshipped the stars, and they worshipped the sun, and they worshipped the moon, and they worshipped all of these different things in heavens and the constellations. They worshipped false gods and false deities. And so the parents of Phoebe had called their little girl Moon, or Phoebe, in their mother tongue. And that's perhaps an indicator as to the type of lifestyle and spiritual mindset of her parents. She was brought up in idolatry. She was brought up in heathendom. And whenever Phoebe was growing up, she was completely ignorant of the gospel. And yet, she came to know Christ, and she was wonderfully and powerfully converted. Like the moon itself, Phoebe had no light of her own. And like the moon itself, and like all of us, the moon has a dark side. And underneath the surface of every human being, there's a dark side that is often hidden from view. And Phoebe just lived up to her name. She was like the moon. She had no light of her own. And there was a dark side to Phoebe. But nevertheless, as the Apostle Paul went and preached the gospel in Corinth, and whether she was in Corinth or Paul was in Kenchrea, we cannot say for sure, but she came nevertheless under the influence of the gospel, and she was wonderfully and powerfully converted. And that gives us encouragement tonight that the gospel is able to convert the darkest and the deepest of sinners. The most ignorant, the most superstitious, the most indifferent, or the most callous person can come under conviction of sin whenever the gospel is preached with power and with great glory. Whenever Paul wrote his first letter to the church at Corinth, he reminds them in the first chapter, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 17, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of salvation. Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And then in chapter 6 he reminds the people in Corinth about the necessity of holy living and separation from sin and from the world. And he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he reminds them, and such were some of you. And I believe that in that category, it's highly likely that Phoebe was counted in. Maybe she was an idolater. Maybe she was a drunkard. Maybe she was covetous. Maybe she was an abuser of herself. Who knows what sort of life Phoebe led? But growing up in Corinth, and growing up in that town just outside of Corinth, we know that Phoebe was a woman of the world. But she became a woman of God. She was converted to Christ. And as a moon has no light of its own, we also know that the moon reflects the light of the sun. And so whenever the Son of Righteousness arose with healings in his wings, in the life of Phoebe, she began to reflect the glory of Christ to the world and the community round about her. And it would do us well tonight to pray that in this community, and in this town, and in the outlying towns, and the satellite towns around about Coleraine, that God would save people like Phoebe. And they would come to be converted to Christ and reflect the glory of God to a perishing world. So Phoebe, first of all, was converted to Christ. The second thing, Phoebe was connected to a church. Converted to Christ, but also connected to a church. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Kenchrea. Paul's labors in the region of Corinth and round about resulted in the establishing not only of the great church at Corinth, but also in another church at Kenchrea. And we're not sure perhaps how many other churches were established, but we know that as Paul preached, God worked, God moved, and God sent the revival to that ungodly and godless region. There's very little in the scriptures that give any sort of account of what sort of ministry Paul held in this town or this village of Kenchrea. The only other reference to it in scripture is in Acts chapter 18 and verse number 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, who have been mentioned in the Romans 16, having shorn his head in Kenchrea, for he had a vow. He shaved his head to show that he had made a vow unto the Lord. Whatever that vow was, it was made in the town of Kenchrea. And that's all we really read of Paul's ministry there. But such was the blessing of God upon his labors that God was able to establish under his ministry a church. And that seaport town close to Corinth came under the influence of the gospel. And that's where Phoebe laid down her roots. That's the church that Phoebe connected herself to and associated herself with. The local church in her area became a spiritual home. Wasn't just enough for Phoebe to be converted to Christ. It was also the will of God for her that she be connected to a church. And this is vital to the testimony of the gospel. That God's people assemble themselves together and realize the importance of the local church. You read about Thessalonica, you read about Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, Corinth. You read about Laodicea, Sardis, and all of these other places where God worked and God moved, and souls were saved, and true to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, God added daily unto the church such as should be saved. And those who were born again were added unto the church of the firstborn, the invisible church, but they also met together in local assemblies, in local churches, in local areas. And it seems to me in my reading of the New Testament that at that particular time, and maybe it's because there weren't a lot of converts in some of these little places, it seems to me that in every town, village and city where God had moved, there only seemed to be one local church. And it seems that with all of their problems and with all of the assaults from within and from without, there was nowhere that they could jump ship and go to. And so they worked out their problems and they prayed through them and they exercised discipline and they submitted to the word of God and to authority and godly leadership, and God established these churches because the testimony of the gospel has been given to the church. And Phoebe recognized this and she connected herself to a church. And for the testimony of the gospel, it's important that we realize that God has set up the institution of the church so that the gospel might be spread out, so people can see there's a people who meet together, who love Jesus Christ, who love God, who want to spread the gospel and want to worship the Lord. And even you're leaving your home on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday evening, whatever it is a subtle and yet a silent and yet a very real testimony to the fact that you meet somewhere to worship the God of heaven. And it is also vital to spiritual well-being that believers become part of a local church. I think it's clear tonight to say that it is ever the teaching of the New Testament that Christians are to affiliate themselves with the local assembly. Whenever Saul was converted on the road to Damascus, he immediately essayed to join himself to the disciples which were at Bithynia. Nobody had to tell him to do that. It was his immediate desire. I want now to meet with God's people. And you know, that shows me just how much salvation is entirely of the Lord. Because about an hour before Saul's conversion, he was on the road to Damascus and he hated Christians. He hated the name of Jesus. He wanted to persecute the church. And then all of a sudden there was a change of heart. I don't believe it was Paul having a change of mind or exercising his free will. I believe it was the coming down of the power of Jesus Christ into his heart and life and radically changing his will, his intellect and his emotions and his thinking about the Lord, because all of a sudden the things that he hated and the people that he hated and the person that he hated the most became the person that he loved the most. And the things that he hated the most became the things he loved the most. And the people that he hated the most became the people that he loved the most. And he realized, I have to, for my own spiritual good, be connected with a church. I don't read in the New Testament of anybody becoming so spiritual that they just sat at home and worshipped the Lord at home and said, well, God's told me just to stay at home because there's no church that fits what I believe, anything like that, and they're all carnal and all the rest of it. The church of Corinth had many problems. And God didn't say, separate yourselves from the church. He said, separate yourselves from the world. And if you can do that, then the church will be purified in the process. So Sister Phoebe was converted to Christ. Sister Phoebe was connected to a church. Sister Phoebe was committed to a cause. You'll notice there that it addresses Phoebe with the title, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Kenchrea. It's interesting here that the word that is translated servant comes from the same root word which we have translated as deacon in our New Testament scriptures, because a deacon is a servant. We sometimes call them committee men. And scripture highlights the qualifications of a deacon or a committee man in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and it indicates certain things. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith and a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children, and their houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And so Paul highlights some of the qualifications here for a deacon, and he indicates that the deacons in the church are to be male. But the same word that is translated deacon comes into another word that is translated here as servant, because a servant, of course, is a deacon. And some people have intimated that Phoebe was perhaps a deaconess, but they have distinguished that from the office of a deacon. You know, some of the Protestant denominations down through the years have employed ladies within their churches. It's not an ordained office, but they employ ladies within their churches, and they call them a deaconess. And one of the roles of a deaconess is to offer pastoral care to the sick, and to the elderly, to the widows, and the special ministry to the women that are within need, within and without of the church. A non-ordained position. And we could see perhaps that, yes, there's merit in that. Of course, there's a role and there's a position for men and for women in the church. And Phoebe had a role. She was a servant of the church. She served in the church, and she served for the church, and she served under the church. And at any rate, she was serving the Lord. And that is something that God has called all of us to do. We have been saved not just to get us to heaven. We often say that heaven is a fringe benefit of salvation. The real thing in salvation is being reconciled to the God that we've been estranged from birth. Being brought into a right standing with God, and then being set free from the power of sin to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says here that Phoebe was a servant, not of Christ here, but a servant of the church. Yes, she was a servant of Christ, but she was serving under the authority of the church. And again, I challenge you tonight, in your reading of the New Testament, that never seems to be the case that those who served the Lord served Him independently outside of the church. Yes, there's a personal work that we can all do. Yes, you can pray at home. Yes, you can read your scriptures at home. Yes, you can distribute tracts. And yes, you can do outreach. And yes, you can witness to your loved ones. But as far as setting up a ministry is concerned, it seems that in New Testament times, those who were serving the Lord always served the Lord through the church. And Phoebe's cause was to see Christ building His church. Her desire was to see believers in the church edified, even as she ministered, as it says at the end of verse number 2, a succorer of many and of myself also. She helped the Apostle Paul in his ministry and in his labors. And that was her desire, to see the church strengthened. Phoebe was converted to Christ. Phoebe was connected to a church. Phoebe was committed to a cause. Phoebe was commended by the Apostle. I commend unto you Phoebe. And with that word commend, it seems immediately clear that by using that word commend, that Paul is intimating that Phoebe is going to meet the readers or the hearers of this letter one day face to face. Because he goes on to say then in verse 2, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. So Phoebe was going to do work for the Lord, church business down there in Rome. And Paul was sending her, and he was encouraging these people to receive her. And then whenever you go down to the very last verse of the chapter, verse 27, after Paul pronounces the benediction, in that verse you'll read a little postscript to the book, which is really just Paul signing off and putting his name to the book, so to speak, written to the Romans from Corinthus, and sent by Phoebe, servant of the church at Kenchrea. So this letter that Paul has written not only includes Phoebe in it, but having finished the letter, Paul gives the letter to Phoebe and tells Phoebe to take this letter down to the believers that are at Rome. And she became a messenger for Paul, taking this letter in her hands. It was sent by Phoebe, servant of the church at Kenchrea. And evidently she was successful in bringing this letter to Rome, because we have it here this evening. And so Paul commended Phoebe. And he found Phoebe to be trustworthy enough to entrust her to take this precious letter that would be such a blessing to the believers in Rome and to countless believers right up until this day and generation right across the world. And the reason we have this letter tonight is not just because the Apostle Paul wrote it, but because Phoebe was trustworthy in doing what Paul asked her to do and bringing it to the believers in Rome. She was trustworthy and she was dependable. What a letter the letter of Romans is. Just think, if Phoebe had been careless or unwilling, or if she had failed in her task, we can't even begin to put a number perhaps upon the multitudes of people who have been converted through the book of Romans, and the multitudes of believers who have gained a deeper assurance and have attained a closer walk with God through this book. And we often forget about people like Phoebe who risked their very lives in seeing that this letter was given and brought into the right hands of the right people. Traveling to Rome was not a safe journey, and Rome was not a safe city. But she was willing to risk life and limb so that these people might have this letter. What a thing it was to be commended by someone like the Apostle Paul. Credit where credit is due. And you'll see right throughout this chapter, wherever there was a faithful servant of the Lord, Paul ascribed credit. He commended them, the one to the other. He was thankful for their labours, and he put it on record how faithful and how gifted many of them had been under God and what they had attained to. And I think it's true tonight that we need to commend many, even within our own assembly. Even after Sunday evening, I think so many of our young people tonight have to be commended. And I've left school now 1994, 23 years ago. And young people now are coming up against things that I've never even heard tell of whenever I was at school. And they have to be commended for taking a stand for the Lord, whether it's in the school or in the university or in the workplace. It's hard for young people to stand up for Christ. It's hard for a young person to go into a school or a university or a technical college or into a workplace and immediately nail their colours to the mast, not only by their lips but by their lives, and live differently from the world. And whenever people ask them why they do or the things they do and why they don't do the things they don't do, for them to stand up and say, because I'm a Christian, I love Jesus Christ. Or even to say where they were at the weekend, because you immediately stick out like a sore thumb. And we need to encourage and commend our young people and encourage them to go on with God, that they might be found as vessels unto honour at the last day. Paul commended Phoebe, but one day Phoebe received that commendation from the Lord himself. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That simple deed of taking that letter from your home just outside of Corinth across to Rome in the face of persecution and trial and affliction, and you were faithful in that. God bless you. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And brothers and sisters tonight, won't it be worth it all whenever at last we hear that commendation from the Lord himself, commending us for what we have done, if we've done it well, to the glory of God. Phoebe was a convert to Christ. Phoebe was connected to a church. Phoebe was committed to a cause. Phoebe was commended by the apostle. But lastly, Phoebe was a comforter of saints. The end of verse number 1, Paul says, of verse number 2, Paul says, she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. The word succorer means a helper. It means a supporter. It denotes someone who is an encourager, someone who brings comfort to those who maybe are facing trial and affliction themselves. And of course, the greatest comforter of all is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 18, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. And the word tempted really means tried and tested. And he's come through the trial and the tests victorious. And it says, in light of that, he is able to succor, to support, to encourage, to help, to comfort those who are tempted. And I wonder tonight, you're maybe in the meeting and you've been tempted, and you've been tried, and you've been tested, and your faith has been sifted. And there's maybe news that has come to your ears in recent days that has plunged you, perhaps, humanly speaking, into despair. And you don't know which way to turn, and you wonder where your help and your comfort's going to come from. Jesus Christ is the great comforter, the great helper, the great encourager. And sometimes he helps us through people like Phoebe. Because just like our Savior, who was a succorer, a helper, so indeed was Phoebe. She was a Christ-like woman. Sometimes God raises up people like this. Godly woman, godly man, who maybe aren't seen so much by the world to be standing in pulpits and platforms, or standing in street corners, or having their name on a printed page, but they're there anyway. And they come alongside those who are downcast and discouraged. And they serve the church, and they serve Christ in the church by encouraging with their words, with their presence, with their support, with their countenance, with their gifts and their talents or their abilities. They help, they encourage, they comfort. They're not like the wet blanket brigade or the cold water committee. They're there with warmth and with words of encouragement to help those who are cast down. And it says here that she comforted many. Only eternity will reveal how many lives this woman's one life touched. And under God, we can be used in some way to touch many, many lives. And maybe tonight you don't even realize that you're doing it, but you know, so many of you are tremendous encouragers and comforters. Just by your prayers, by your presence, by your kindness, by your thoughts. You know, it's hard to put into words what it feels like whenever somebody comes to you and you know that they mean it and they say, I'm praying for you. And you know that they are. Or they ask you, how are you? And they don't just turn around and walk away, but they really do care about how you are. Or whenever somebody comes and they put an arm around you and they show you that bit of love. Do you remember Ezekiel? He went down to minister to the captives that were at Babylon, and these captives were there because of their sin, most of them. And Ezekiel says, I sat where they sat. Here were people who were in bondage and in affliction and were there because they had departed from the Lord, but God still loved them, and he sent a prophet called Ezekiel, and Ezekiel just sat where they sat. And maybe he didn't say much for a little while, but just his presence with them meant so much. So it was with Job's comforters. For 7 days they were a tremendous comfort because they said nothing. But it was whenever they began to speak and tried to explain everything that it all went pear-shaped. Somebody said, a wise man once said nothing. A wise man once said nothing. You know, we often talk about quotes, a wise man once said blah, 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 big fancy quote. But sometimes the best thing is to say nothing. And just to be there, as I believe that Phoebe was. Paul says she comforted, she succored many, and myself also. Paul's saying here, I know by personal experience what type of woman this is. And even someone as spiritual, as anointed, as mighty in intellect and in deed as the Apostle Paul, he was a theological giant. He was the best preacher since the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and the best missionary, the best evangelist, the best theologian, the best church planter. And you see everything that Paul had come through. And yet Paul, there were times whenever he needed to be comforted. There were times, even for Paul, whenever he needed somebody to come along and give him a helping hand and someone to show him a bit of love and a bit of support. And he says to these believers at Rome, I found Phoebe to be such a person. She has been a help, a succorer, an encourager even to me. Some of you will be aware of the words that are found in 2 Corinthians again writing to a church that was in Phoebe's district and community about some of the things that Paul faced. For example, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 4, he says, "In all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, afflictions, necessities, distresses, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labours, watchings, and fastings." And then a couple of chapters later, in chapter 11, in verse 23, he talks about labours, stripes, prisons, deaths, stripes, beaten with rods, stoned, shipwrecked, journeyings, all sorts of perils, robbers, countrymen, heathen, in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, amongst false brethren. He talks about weariness, painfulness, watchings, hunger, thirst, fastings, cold, nakedness. And then he mentions the care of all of these churches with all of their problems and all of these young converts. And he puts it on record that in the midst of all of this, our sister Phoebe was such an encourager and such a comforter even to me. May God bless each and every one of you tonight for your help, your support, your encouragement. And may God give us grace to be like our sister Phoebe.